fold your Bible in half. Should be right there if you have Old and New Testament. Psalms 20 and 21 tonight. Psalms 20 and 21. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, you are the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And when you come back with your people, written on your thigh will be the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And so tonight, I pray that you would lead us and guide us as we look at these two wonderful psalms of your assurance, your saving work, the joy in our salvation in you. And so thank you, Lord, that we can gather here together tonight and sit at your feet. I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. Meet us where we are, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your word not only speaks to us corporately, but also individually. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us tonight. And I pray, Lord, that we would be not only hearers of your word, but doers of your word, not deceiving ourselves. So, Lord, may we have good, rich soil in our hearts to receive your word deeply implanted in good soil, that we might bear much fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. We thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're going to do and for what you have for us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 20 tonight. The superscriptions say the assurance of God's saving work to the chief musician, a psalm of David or Havid, which means beloved. David is beloved of God. And you'll be able to see that he truly loved God by these two wonderful psalms that we have before us here tonight. And this is what is written in the word of the Lord. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. And so tonight we're back in the Psalms. I've kind of missed the Psalms over the past couple of weeks. Psalm 20 is more of a psalm of prayer and petition, as we will see, whereas Psalm 21 is a psalm of praise. But yet they both dovetail. They both just complement one another so nicely. Israel, again, is on the brink of war. That just seems to be her history. Israel has never been a nation of aggression. Yet someone throws a bomb and they always point at Israel, don't they? Israel has always been a nation of peace. They have never been the aggressor. Yet for centuries she has had to defend herself from her enemies. In our first psalm tonight, Psalm 20, it's a prayer on behalf of David from God's people that God would give them victory. Folks, if there's ever a time in the history of America where we need to pray for our president and our leadership, it's now. Whether you like him or not, you need to pray for him, that God would direct him and lead him and guide him, that God would give him wisdom. Why? Because God's word commands us to pray for those in authority. We're to love him. We're to pray for him. And it doesn't matter whether they're Democrat, Republican, whatever. God says to pray for the leaders. Why? Because God is able to change the hearts of men. And sometimes God will allow people in authority to chastise a nation. Then other times, God will allow a leader to bless the nation. As you may recall, when we were back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised King David victory over his enemies. What a wonderful promise for a king. David knew where his strength came from. David never took the glory for himself. Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. He knew that he was nothing without the Lord. And you know, the same holds true for you and I today. We are nothing without the Lord. We depend on Him for every breath that we take, every beat of our heart. We depend on Him for every meal that He provides, for a roof over our heads. God has really blessed us. And oftentimes we don't realize what we have until God removes the blessings. But David knew God's promise, 2 Samuel chapter 7. And David didn't throw his weight around because he had the promise of God that God would deliver his enemies into his hand. David never took advantage of that. Just like Israel today, they don't throw their weight around in the world today. They're just this little belly button, if you would, of a nation. If the world had a belly button, it would be Israel, this little nation. But you know what? This nation, I believe, is the most powerful nation on the planet. Because God stands behind her. They only go to war when they're threatened or attacked to defend themselves. They have never been known to invade other nations to gain territory. God has actually given them a blueprint of their nation. That land belongs to them over there. It doesn't belong to the Palestinians or the Philistines or anybody else. That land has been given to them by God. And the only reason that her enemies around her want to take that land away piece by piece as they still want to push Israel right off into the ocean. That's their plan. And if they could today, they would do it. But there is a restrainer. God Himself, the arm of the Lord, God is on their side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? David was only fighting the battles of the Lord. Whenever they came, David took them on in the Lord. God's people still have that hope today. We don't have to fear anything. It's been said, if you fear God, you don't have to fear anything or anybody else. Because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is to hate all evil. The battle belongs to the Lord. Do you know that? Do you realize that tonight? I know there are many in the body of Christ that are beat up, battle weary, tired of swinging the sword, getting worn out. Just tired. Do you know that the battle belongs to the Lord? Because if you begin to get weary and your sword begins to get heavy, maybe you're fighting it on your own. Maybe you need to allow the Lord to fight your battles for you. We have the assurance of victory over our enemies. Why? Because the same promises that are given in the Old Testament hold true for the believer today. All of them. Isn't that wonderful? We've got a bunch of promises. And so make sure, and this is the key to our first section here tonight, make sure that before you step onto the battlefield, that you fall upon your knees. That's the key to victory. Why? Because the Lord's army travels on their knees. That's the greatest weapon that we have, the word of the Lord and prayer. But how often we use prayer as our last resort instead of our first resort. Don't dare go anywhere or do anything or make any decisions without hitting your knees. Go to the Lord. Ask for His wisdom and His knowledge and His counsel. So make sure that before you step onto the battlefield, that you spend time on your knees. And you know what, Christian? We have been in a battle. We are in a battle. And we will always be in a battle while we are still here on earth. Too many Christians looking for R&R today, rest and recuperation. We're in a battle for souls. We don't battle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in heavenly places. It's a spiritual warfare that's going on. And so that's why in this first section, we see prayer and petition for the king from David's people. Isn't it great when the people will intercede, when they will come alongside of David in prayer before he even steps onto the battlefield? You've heard me share oftentimes as well that you are safer on the battlefield than you are on the balcony. Just look at David's life. When did David get in trouble? When he was back from the battle. He was supposed to have been in the midst of the battle with his men. And when he got in trouble was when he was taking it easy. What do we say to one another before we leave? Hey, take it easy. You know, don't take it easy. Please, keep your armor on. Stay on your knees. Recognize that oftentimes when the enemy is quiet, he's only reloading. Do you know that? Oftentimes when he's quiet, he is just reloading. I love this. In the prayer of the people for David. And that's what the first five verses are. The people are praying for their king. Six times the word "may" is used as the people interceded for their king. Isn't that beautiful? May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob or Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all of your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill your purpose. And it goes on to say, may the Lord fulfill all of your petitions or all of your prayers. What a wonderful way to pray for someone. You can use that prayer. You can copy that prayer when you intercede. Use that prayer for me. Please. I need prayer. You need prayer. Use it when you pray. And I know every one of you now after tonight is going to go home and pray for your president. So make sure that you use that in prayer for the president. That God would direct him. That he would answer in the day of trouble. I'll tell you what, we're going to be praying when trouble really comes to this nation, that God would answer, help, Lord. And so six times the word "may" is used as the people interceded for their king. And in each instance, the word "may" is connected to the Lord. Don't you love that? May the Lord. May the Lord. I think Satan kind of laughs with this group of people that are the binding and rebuking people. You ever heard them? Binding, rebuking the devil. Binding, rebuking. If the devil's getting bound, who's letting him go? You know, they bind and loose and bind. Somebody keeps letting the guy loose when somebody else is binding him. Binding and loosing has nothing to do with the devil. Oftentimes that scripture verse says, whatever the Lord binds on earth shall be bound in heaven, looses on earth. That's not talking about Satan, okay? What we need to do is make sure that when we pray, may the Lord, connect it to the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, demons of darkness, whatever it might be. You got to make sure that you connect it to the Lord, because in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. And so God's people, as well as God's King David, knew very well where their help came from. Maybe you came in here tonight overwhelmed. Maybe you're going down for the third time, taking your third breath, ready to go under for good, thinking, Lord, this is it. I'm gone. Adios. I'll see you tonight. But the good news is this. You need to know where your help comes from. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, God is there to help you. We just have to wait for His timing, His perfect timing. Even as a young boy, as David stood face to face with Goliath of Gath, David said to him, and this is interesting. Again, David had the promise of God that God would deliver all of his enemies into his hand, including this big old guy by the name of Goliath. And David says this. He says to Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear, and I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Isn't that great? It's like David's behind God going, na, 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 you know, this great big giant, because David was behind God. When that rock got Goliath right between the eyes, who do you suppose guided that rock? God did. Last August when I got a hole in one, who guided that golf ball? God did. I finally realized I can't take any credit for anything that God does. It's like we're just behind the Lord. God, he says, the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. 1 Samuel 17:45. And in verse 47, David goes on to say, then all shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Isn't that great? He took five smooth stones. Did David think he was going to miss? No, God doesn't miss. Goliath had four brothers. He thought, maybe the whole family will come. Bring them on. I'll take on all four of those other dudes. You know, David was ready. He knew that God could fight the battle for him. And he knew that God was going to give Goliath into his hands. Zechariah 4:6, for it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God is the one who fights our battle. So maybe this is your prayer tonight. Maybe you can kind of look at this prayer tonight in reference to yourself. Nine times in five verses, we see you and yours. Maybe you need an answer tonight in the day of trouble. We live in troubled times, don't we? A lot of people are struggling, losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. They're losing their savings. Thanks to Madoff, who made off with their savings. You know, we live in times of trouble. So where are you going to go in times of trouble? The same place that God's people have been going for thousands of years, to the Lord. He is the one that fights our battles. So maybe you need an answer in the day of trouble tonight. Verse 1, maybe you need God to come to your defense. Maybe you're going through troubled times. Maybe like in verse 2, he needs to send help to you from his sanctuary. Maybe like in verse 3, you need him to remember that Jesus Christ is the sacrifice on your behalf. You need to be reminded of these things as well. Maybe you need help from heaven. Maybe you're thinking, there's no way on earth I can get out of this mess. I need help from heaven tonight. God hears your prayer. God hears your petitions, and David knew that. But what we need to do is allow God to work and not try to take it on ourselves. I love the fact here that in verse 3 where it says, may he remember all of your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. And David, before he went to war, he made sure that he made the proper offerings and sacrifices before the Lord. We have the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Before you go out to battle, make sure that you ask God to forgive your sins, cleanse your heart, fill you with His Holy Spirit. We have the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf, Selah. And Selah is a pause of meditation. And it's good when you get on your knees before you go to battle before the Lord that you meditate upon Jesus Christ and who He really is. And there's nothing too difficult for Him. His number one priority was to go before the Lord before he went to battle. I love it. Notice, when our hearts line up with His heart, when our will lines up with His will, He gives us the desire of our heart. Don't you love it? In verse 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Now, a lot of these guys on TV, the name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and confess it and possess it people, they think that all you have to do is ask God and he'll give you the desire of his heart. But Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, whatsoever you ask according to my will. God is not this heavenly ATM. Gimme, 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 gimme. There's too much of that stuff going on. God wants your heart to line up with his heart and your heart to line, or your desires to line up with his desire. And boy, what a difference that'll make in a lot of our lives. Our desires change. If all you want is God in your life and all you want is what God wants, it's amazing how we can be content wherever we are. And no matter what we're going through, we can be content, even as Paul was. He wants to give us the desire of our hearts. He wants to grant us the desire of our heart. But he also wants our heart to line up with his. And it also says that he fulfills all your purpose. And what that means in Hebrew is he will give you counsel and advice. The term is aitzah in Hebrew. It means he will give you counsel and advice in every situation. And so in the first five verses, isn't it wonderful? that when your prayers, your petition, your purpose lines up with Him, when you go to the Lord before you go to battle, when we look to Him to answer, to help, to defend, to deliver, and strengthen, we can rejoice. Look at verse 5. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Wow, isn't that great? They were just getting ready to put the banners up. They hadn't even gone to battle. But they knew the battle belonged to the Lord, that He was going to give them victory. And that's what Psalm 21 is all about. But they had the banners ready. They knew that they were going to have victory because they laid everything before the Lord. And that's good to know that, yes, there is victory in Him. And now we go from may the Lord to will. And that's what He does. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. What that means is may He answer all of your prayers. Again, your heart must line up with His heart, your desires for His heart, His desires, and your prayers will line up with God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Notice that the Lord also saves His anointed. What does that mean? That means He's going to save you and I to the uttermost. We talked about that on Sunday a couple of weeks ago. God saves to the uttermost. You are anointed. God has put His Spirit within you. You are sealed for the day of redemption. You have eternal security in God if you're born again. And a lot of people aren't secure. Well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, you better find out. You're either a saint or an ain't. Believer, unbeliever, make believer. I mean, there's no middle ground here. And if you know you're saved and know you're born again and know you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no doubt. You're not a timeshare. You know, it's not based upon you being good today and what you gave God today. It's all based upon His grace. It's getting what we don't deserve. And we're saved by grace through faith. Believing that Christ died for us and He shed His blood for us. And He went into that grave. He took our place and He rose again on the third day. And He's seated at the right hand of the Father and He's coming again. Are you assured of that? Do you know that you know that you know? If not, we're going to give you that chance tonight. You can pray to receive Christ. How do I do that, Pastor Joe? Just ask Him. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is whosoever. Everybody and anybody that needs Christ. He's right there. He's a breath. He's a prayer away. He wants to save your soul. And He does save His anointed. Isn't that great? He's not going to lose one. All that the Father has given me, I shall not lose one. And no one shall pluck them out of my hand. Isn't that great? That's secure. I'd say that's pretty secure. There's a lot of talk about God's right hand here tonight. If you know that you're in His hand, you don't worry about an arms race. I was thinking about that today. I'm not worried about nuclear arms race. I'm resting in the arms of my King. And I'm in His hand. And nobody can touch me or pluck me out. And it's the same with you. That's secure. Don't put your faith and trust on our military strength. That's what the next section has to say. He warns in verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Isn't that great? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Do you know that? What about if we get nuked? Hallelujah, I'm out of here. So are you. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Do it quick. You know? Don't just maim me and leave me there. Right? Get me good. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Why does He talk about not trusting in chariots and some in horses? And by the way, that word trust is found 125 times in the Bible. 50 times we find it in the Psalms. To trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all. How much is all? Not just some? Some of your ways? All of your ways. And He will direct your path. Is it important to trust? Absolutely. Talked about that last Sunday, right? Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Impossible to please God without faith. We must believe in Him. Trust in Him with all of your heart. That's all He asks us to do, isn't it? By faith. He doesn't ask us to go up on a mountain and wear a goofy turban and sit there and contemplate our navel. Navel was the guy that... He doesn't ask us to do goofy things. He says, just trust me by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. That's all He asks. Don't put your faith and trust in nuclear weapons and tanks. By the way, Israel's tank is called the Chariot. Did you know that? It's all just being laid into place. In those days, horses and chariots were like tanks today. How many horses and chariots did Israel have when their backs were up to the Red Sea and Pharaoh was breathing down their necks? Anybody know? None. It's easy to count all of the chariots and horses they had. Zip, zero, zilch. Who won that battle? What ended up floating in the Red Sea? Chariots and horses. They're at the bottom. Children of Israel went across, over 2 million people. Not one wet sandal. They wore those sandals for 40 years. Imagine that. Never wore out. Why? Because they trusted God. God led them. Gave them the manna. Gave them water from a rock. Gave them quail till it come out of their noses. Yeah, God provided tremendously. God did not want His people to trust in their own military strength. What do we trust in today in America? Military strength, don't we? How sad. When you walk away from God, what do you put your faith and trust in? The works of man's hands. We were a nation, one nation under God at one time, and we trusted God. And we defended other nations. And we went to the aid of other nations. You think they're returning the favor these days? When we've got terrorists trying to blow up our planes and all this other stuff? What has happened to all the people we went to the rescue for in the name of the Lord? How sad. Now they want to do us in. God did not want His people to trust in their own military strength, but to trust in Him, period. Why? In Deuteronomy 17:16, God commanded His kings not to acquire three things for themselves. Number one, horses. Number two, wives, plural. Number three, silver and gold. And guess what? Solomon batted 1,000. He trusted in all three. Horses, wives, silver and gold. How sad. But you know, there's a lot of men in ministry today that trust in those things. Their power, their money, their cars, their little chariots. One pastor on TV's got 5 Rolls Royces. Says, you don't have enough faith if you're not driving a Rolls Royce. That's bizarre, man. God tells us, don't store up chariots, dude. You know. Today, if I were a betting man, which I'm not a betting man, I'm a believing man. I believe in this, so I don't have to bet on anything else. I believe that the most powerful nation on the planet is Israel. And I'll take them over anybody. If I'm going to have to join the number one team militarily, I'll tell you who it is. It's Israel. Why? Because God is on their side. And God, look out. You see, Israel is the apple of God's eye. And I'll tell you what, if people are poking their finger at Israel, they are poking their finger in the eye of God. And look out, man. Whew. Sinner in the hands of an angry God is a dangerous place to be. And you know what? You can take and you can combine all of the world's superpowers today and they can't touch Israel. They're going to try one day, don't you know? And guess what? That is going to be the biggest mistake they have ever made. They are going to find out what true global warming is all about. Because God is going to rain fire and brimstone upon them. All the pieces, all the chess pieces are in place. Do you know? When we were in Israel, we stood on the Mount of Olives. And our tour guide, a Messianic Jew, a believing Jew, says this building off to the right over here on the Hill of Evil Counsel. You know where the hill, you know what the Hill of Evil Counsel is? That's the hill where Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And that is also the hill that both of the times that Israel was sacked, that's where the enemy came from. Guess who is on that hill today? The United Nations sits on the Hill of Evil Counsel today. Are all the pieces in play? You bet they are. But we don't have to sweat it because we know that Romans 8:31 says that if God be for us, who can be against us? It's actually exciting. We live in exciting times, man. Majorly exciting times. And again, our tour guide, which was really cool, he got saved and he cried for 3 weeks straight. He could not believe that God had saved him. But anyway, when he was telling us about the Hill of Evil Counsel, all these things, he says, people read the Old Testament, they hear about, you know, the last battle being fought with arrows and chariots. As I mentioned, Israel's tank is called the chariot, and their latest missile is called the Arrow 2. So everything's just falling into place, would you say? So whose side do you want to be on? Very simply. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, and they will. They always will. But we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Isn't that a great prayer? May the King, their King, answer them when they call. Isn't it amazing as well that King David, Israel's greatest king, was praying that same prayer as well, speaking of the Messiah, the Messiah that was to come. May the King answer us when we call. Psalm 21. We've seen the petition. We've seen the prayer. Answered prayer is always acknowledged by fervent praise. We've seen the prayer and the petition. Now we're going to see the fervent praise because God gives them victory now. Do you remember to give thanks to God for the victories that you have? I forget a lot of times. Man, sometimes I'm in trouble, difficulties, whatever it might be. Lord, get me on this one. I pray and pray and pray it through. And oftentimes I forget to give Him thanks. Sometimes because I'm already into another trial already. Got prayers going up for something else. I remember when Tina and I first got saved, we would write down a prayer list every day. And pray those same things every day and more. And as the Lord answered them, we would check them off and give thanks. You would be blown away at the pages and pages of prayers that we had that were answered, that we checked off. But oftentimes we forget. God answers prayer. He still answers prayer. And unfortunately, I must confess that there are times that I almost take it for granted that God is going to answer my prayer. I'm sorry. I repent for that, Lord. Sometimes I just take it, yeah, God says to pray, and I'm praying, and look what He did, and hallelujah. I just move on like a spoiled brat of the King. We need to give thanks. We need to keep track of the things that He does. It's funny how, oh Lord, You've left me out here to die, yet when He delivers us, we don't stop and give Him thanks. How many lepers gave thanks out of 10 that Jesus cleansed? Only one. Return to give thanks. Be a thankful people. And that's why we have, right after a psalm of prayer, we have a psalm of fervent praise. Check it out. The King shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire. Why? We saw in Psalm 20, right? He says that we are to pray. He will give us our heart's desire when it lines up with Him. And evidently, David's prayer and petitions in his heart was lined up with God. And it says, you have given him his heart's desire. Because David was a man after God's own heart. David wanted what God wanted. And we should want what God wants. Why? Because if you want what God wants, you'll never be disappointed. And you'll never have to settle for second best. Because if we persevere and push and try to get our own way and get something that we have to have, sometimes, man, we end up going, oh, Lord, take it away. I didn't really need that, you know. Sometimes He'll allow us to have it just to teach us a lesson. Where if you want God's very, very best, pray and wait. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes the answer is yes, no, wait. You have given Him His heart's desire, not withheld the request of His lips, Selah. Notice the positive of meditation there. Meditating upon all that God had given them and that God had not withheld the request of His lips. For you meet Him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold on His head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to Him. Length of days forever and ever. That's the same promise for you and I today. Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Have you received eternal life from Christ? Have you asked Him to save you and to forgive you for your sins and come into your heart and be your personal Lord and Savior? And what will He do? He will do exactly what you ask Him to do. He says, all that come to me, by no means will I turn anybody away. That's anybody. Anybody. David knew that. He asked for life and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. You ever stop and think how long eternity is? That we get to spend eternity in heaven with God? Throw the Timex out? Rolex would even be garbage in heaven. No more time. Nothing but daylight for eternity. The light of the Lord will shine. But I pity those folks that reject Christ because they get eternal life as well, don't you know? We're going to talk about that tonight. There is a literal hell. There is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a place where people will go forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and never get out. Even though some religions tell you somebody can pay and pray your way out, that's baloney. Don't you believe that for one second. There's no purgatory, my friend. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that Jesus Christ purged us once and for all from our sins. So if we're purged once and for all, how do you improve upon that? Just the shekels people want today. Pay and pray somebody. How do you know when you paid enough? How do you know when you prayed enough? Nobody tells you. How sad. People are being fleeced instead of fed the Word of God. His glory is great in your salvation. Again, it's personal again. At your salvation, you have a personal relationship with God. You're saved. Honor and majesty you've placed upon Him. For you have made Him most blessed forever. Wow. Isn't that cool? Blessed forever. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to stay here? Yet many people I see today, it's almost as though they don't want to leave. It's like they're rooted and grounded. They're anchored here in this world. Borrowing money they don't have, to buy things they don't need, to impress people they don't know. That's the world's philosophy today. Got to have more. More, more, more. Bigger house, more cars, more money. Does it satisfy your soul? Does it give you eternal life? Does it make you blessed forever? Absolutely not. You have made Him exceedingly glad with your presence. Are you exceedingly glad? If all you had was just the presence of the Lord in your life and you had nothing else, would you be exceedingly glad? I hope so. What a slap in the face to God for people, for Christians to be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and walk around as though, poor me, poor me. I'm the Eeyore Christian. Poor me. Woe is me. How does God feel about that when He sent His Son into this world to die a brutal death for you? And we're walking around as though we've been baptized in pickle juice. Oh, woe is me. I don't have anything. If you've got Jesus Christ, you've got everything. Everything. Everything that lasts. Everything that's important you have. For the king, notice, trusts in the Lord. What do you trust in? If you're bummed and you're not exceedingly glad in His presence, you're trusting in something else, my friend. For the king trusts in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Isn't that great? Earth moved a little today. Anybody feel it? Yeah, 5.9 down in Mexicali. And it was about 50 aftershocks since then up until tonight. But we shall not be moved. We sit on the biggest earthquake fault. Well, the second biggest earthquake fault in the world, probably. The biggest one is in Jerusalem. That's where the Lord's going to put his foot down. The Mount of Olives, earth's going to split. You know the story. That's where the biggest earthquake fault is in the world, Mount of Olives. We're in the second one, San Andreas fault. But he looks beyond my faults and sees my needs. We shall not be moved. You know, Tina and I kind of joke whenever we feel the earthquake. Well, Scripture says that the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. So the Lord just tapping his little toe. And we're going like this, man. All he's going to do is tap his little toe and we're moving. We're rocking and rolling, man. Notice, your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. Whoa. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Now, there are many even liberal pastors today that preach and teach that there's no such thing as hell. Really? It seems to me Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. Check it out for yourself. Why? Because he does not want anyone to go there. Well, doesn't Jesus send people to hell? Absolutely not. People choose to go to hell. I tell you what, it takes more effort to go to hell than it does go to heaven, believe me. People are dying to go to hell. How sad. Jesus came to save us from the pit of hell. Remember Lazarus and the rich man? Rich man, all he would have given all of his riches for just one drop of cool water on his tongue. You guys that joke with your buddies in the bars, oh, I want to go to hell because all my buddies are going to be drinking Bud and Coors there. Don't you believe that for one second, man. There's not going to be one drop of anything there. Not one drop. And there are people that will be screaming and weeping for eternity, as it says here, in this wrath, this fire. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men, for they intended evil against you, speaking of the Lord. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string towards their faces. Man, what a day that's going to be. All of a sudden, when all hell literally breaks loose on earth. But the good news is this, is that we're not going to be here because God has not appointed us to wrath. Remember Abraham when he did the auction with God? Hey, about 50, how about 40, how about 30, how about 20? God, would you destroy the world with 10 of your people? No, he wouldn't destroy the world if 10 of his people were there. Incredible. Are you ready? Noah's Ark, I talked about that Sunday. Got one door, one way in. Door in heaven, Book of Revelation chapter 4. One door, it's open right now. But it's going to shut one day after the rapture of the church. Good news for the believer, verse 13. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. We got a lot to sing about. We got a lot to praise the Lord for, don't we? David knew. The people knew that loved David, their king. Exalt the Lord. He is the one that we rely on. He is our strength. He's our hope. It's in him we put our faith and our trust. And I'll tell you what, when you know that, you can sing and praise him for his grace, his love, his mercy, which is new every day. Where do you stand tonight? I don't usually give an invitation on Wednesday night, but maybe by chance there's someone here tonight that would like to start off the new year as a new believer, a new creation in Christ. So if you would like to pray to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, have all of your sins forgiven, become a child of God, don't have to stand in the wrath when it comes, have a personal relationship with him, be forgiven for all of your sins, past, present, future. I'd like you to slip your hand up tonight right where you are. Pastor Joe, pray for me. Okay. Now I'd like you to stand. If you stand for Jesus, he stood for you. as we close here tonight. Praise God. This is awesome. This is the greatest, single, most decision you can make. The angels in heaven rejoice, the Bible tells us. So pray this prayer with me, would you please, out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior as I give my life to you. May my heart line up with your heart, my prayers with your prayers. And I thank you for the greatest gift of all, salvation through you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The angels in heaven rejoice, so can we.